Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. Going to talk a little bit about inflation right now. You know, the numbers are not the numbers of today are really not what's in question. What's in question right now happens to be the future. It's not looking particularly good. The Fed is talking about raising the prime rate a full point. That's about what it'll take, maybe in their opinion, to do something like this. The second thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the upcoming trip of your president, CFS, going to talk about his upcoming trip to Israel. I'm sure he's going to straighten everything out. Don't you think so, Jimmy?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy. There's a lot of risk in this trip, I'll tell you what.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so Joe Biden, he's heading to Israel and Saudi Arabia, going over to the Middle East. I think there's three fundamental objectives. I think the first one, which is not publicly identified, is to somehow prop up the leftist crazy coalition that beat Benjamin Netanyahu in the last election. Mm-hmm. That government in Israel collapsed just over the last month, and there's new elections coming. But, you know, they're doing what they can to try to repatch up something that was unfixable. So, you know, I think Biden's attempting to do that. He's trying to convince Israel and Saudi Arabia, two nations that are direct conflict almost routinely with Iran, that the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal renegotiated, is a good thing. That's a stupid, in my view, policy to work with people that are actually fighting Iran for power in the region. And of course, Iran has been, even by the IAEA, International Atomic Agency, Energy Agency, has said that that Iran now has the capability to build a weapon very quickly. And then the third reason that he's there is to get on his knees and beg Saudi Arabia and the OPEC nations in the region to increase oil production in order to lower gas prices and maybe stifle a little bit of the damaging inflation that is wreaking havoc on the middle class and the lower income people in the United States. And I think all three of those objectives are rife with risk. I don't think he has much respect in the region. I think they have had incredibly poor policies. And of course, everybody senses the weakness in Washington. So I doubt if he's going to be successful, and there could be some awful backlash.
Now you're talking about the some backlash in the case of our relationship with Saudi Arabia and attempt to lower the prices of the supply of energy for the United States.
Also, just the possibility of him bumbling in a statement. He's already made a couple of really bumbling statements when he arrived. He misspoke and said to recognize the honor of the Holocaust, and then he had to correct himself to the horror of the Holocaust.
Did he really say that?
He did, and inadvertently in his speech, he corrected himself from honor to horror. But these types of gaffes, his mental capacity, clearly he is diminished in his capacity right now. There's a great book coming out by Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who was Obama's, Trump's, and Bush's physician, the guy that actually gave Trump the psychological exam for his competency and fitness for office. And of course, I think the book comes out in the end of the month, and he's a congressman now in Texas. But he basically says Obama, when he questioned Joe Biden's competency, Obama reprimanded him and sent him an email saying, "Hey, you're my friend. I can't believe you did this. Dishonors your office." But here we have a 79-year-old guy that's basically not capable of carrying out a complete sentence, can't read a teleprompter, as fumbling all over the place and making decisions that are very damaging to the nation. And people are still attempting to cover up for that. And I think it's, there's a high amount of risk in a trip like this. And I think some of the other nations out there will not hold back.
You mean risk in the sense of a gaffe so bad that everybody's just going to laugh at us?
Yeah, well, not only that, but these are very controlled meetings. You know, I've been involved in numerous meetings like this, and there's a lot of preparation, a lot of coordination. But, you know, Joe Biden, as Barack Obama had said, can F up anything, right? So he can... I think he can make a lot more damage than actually do have success. And if he walks away with, you know, more failures here, this will just compound his already diminishing stature in the United States with these incredibly low poll numbers.
Jimmy, we got a comment from one of the bloggers yesterday, and the comment had to do with maybe throwing Joe Biden under the bus because the Democrats realize he's not their guy, and maybe they can save their party in the 2 years that, for example, if he were forced out of office and Kamala Harris took over for the last 2 years of the rain, R-A-I-N, I would have to say, downpour, they may be able to save the party by bringing in an individual who could bring credibility back to the party. I don't see that happening. I don't see anybody waiting in the wings. I mean, what, Pete Buttigieg? I don't think so. What do you think?
No, I agree. I don't see anybody that's capable of doing this. And the people that are behind the scenes right now, I mean, this is an Obama puppet presidency. You know, with Susan Rice as the political advisor behind the scenes, as domestic political advisor, with, you know, Blinken and national security advisor Jake Sullivan, you're talking about people that are in agendas that are basically probably asking Barack Obama what to do before they ask Joe Biden what to do.
Yeah.
Ron Klain. So the ability to kind of go beyond this is going to be really difficult, because they do have Kamala Harris, who's proving herself to be incredibly incompetent,
right?
Unable to speak publicly without making a continuous set of gaffes. People don't like her. The trust level, even by young millennials, are like 95-94% against Joe Biden running again. That's in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. In the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So these are pretty staggering problems for them to overcome. And I really don't see how they can fix it. And especially if they lose the House and possibly the Senate in November.
Yeah.
And especially with, so, you know, these numbers that we want to talk about, the inflation numbers and the economic problems, you know, we have not seen the worst of that yet. And no matter how hard they try to spin it, you really just can't cover up the fact that people are really hurting at the middle and lower income levels.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that's really important to realize about the inflation situation is it really has gotten to the point where it's very definitely the gorilla in the room. There's no question about that. I mean, you know, I'm so careful about where I drive. You know what the air is like around here. I am so very, very careful. I had to go and get a part, for example, yesterday for a dishwasher that I've got. And I was in the car for an hour. It probably cost me to get that part, I would say, an extra $40 in gas. That's a meaningful amount of money, Jim.
Yeah, no, it is. And I tell you, there are a lot of people out there that live on the margins from week to week. And
right,
according to, you know, we've got these 9.1 inflation year over year with a 1.3, I believe, over the month, with gas prices at 59% increase for last month.
Right.
Now, when you start hurting the person that makes, you know, that's making $40,000 a year and they've got to drive to work, they got to buy food for their families, they got to buy formula that doesn't exist for their babies, they're pretty frustrated.
Right.
But here's the problem. The bigger problem that people don't realize, that the actual decrease in home in personal income has gone down I think, 3.6% in the last, it's declined every month in the last 15 months. So you've got increasing inflation and your personal income it relative to that is going down. And of course, the confidence in the markets, the confidence in people's ability to buy, they're going to stop buying things. The supply chain problem may become less less of an issue because people aren't buying things, but that does not help us with economic growth.
Well, actually, it does not help. Yeah, actually, the supply chain issue because of the COVID shutdowns in China are getting to be very, very meaningful. I mean, go into your local grocery store out there in South Carolina, Jim, and try to buy something that normally would be stocked on the shelves. 9 times out of 10, it's not. The other shoe to drop in this situation, Jimmy, is quite frankly going to be, what if the supply chain issue in terms of prescription drugs? We get 80 to 90% of our prescription drugs from mainland China. What if the supply chain issue in terms of prescription drugs has some real holes kicked in it? That's going to be terrible.
It's going to be very difficult to manage. It will probably force companies to produce back here in the United States,
right.
Hopefully take away some of that corruption. But here's the other side of that coin, and I think Larry will appreciate this. The other side of that coin is maybe people don't need all these prescription drugs. I mean, there are certain things out there that are very helpful and needed,
right.
But maybe a lot of what we're spending in this entire system should be questioned, especially when you start looking at these psychotropic drugs, these antidepressants, and the number of violent events and the increase in problems that are created with that. And of course, the number one drug that's out there being produced all over the place and illegally brought into the country, fentanyl, which is killing over 250 Americans a day.
Big number.
I could not believe it when I saw the statistic yesterday.
Big number.
That's unbelievable. So.
Well, it's not a good situation. There's no question about that. And unfortunately, fortunately for us, the Democratic Party has really just jumped into it, have been forced into it hook, line, and sinker. I agree with all of the listeners who are, you know, negative on the Democrats right now. I don't see how anybody can be positive. I am really looking forward to watching the news today to see how, and this evening, to see exactly how President Biden shows himself in the Middle East. That's a very, very critical situation right now. Jim, we're up to 12 minutes. Give me some predictions on how you think he's going to do back there.
Well, I think that Biden's probably going to step on it. The longer he's there, the harder the travel on the emotions and the body. It's just challenging to do that. The partners that he's seeking information with, I think somebody's going to let him down. I don't think he's going to get any positive support for the JCPOA because everyone knows the Iranians are too close right now to it. And I think that there's absolutely no possibility that he's going to have a significant breakthrough with OPEC oil production. And he shouldn't. You know, we should be producing energy back here in the United States.
Right.
Now, let me take that back. There is a percentage, there is a chance that he does work some sort of a deal, but it's going to not be in the long-term best interest of the United States. He may get them to increase production in order to meet his green energy policies and then make some more money in the short term. He may sell us out a little bit deeper, but the bottom line is he's not going to do anything that's going to benefit the United States in the long run.
What a position to be in. There's no question about that. LEH, by the way, I want to thank you very much for your comment yesterday about your opinion of the show, how you feel happy about being able to be a part of the blog. I have to tell you, the real information comes from Jim and myself, certainly emphasis on Jim, but it certainly comes from bloggers. Jimmy, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Have a great day, and glad you're starting to get better out.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.